Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. ആചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണ അരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിധിയില പ്രവിഷ്ടം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ ബൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത ബൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ബോധലേ ശ്രീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതീതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാം അനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്മനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ വാസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും മൂഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യ ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദക്രമോപനിഷദൈ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതൽഗതേന മനസോ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ കർമ്മയോഗം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് വി വർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സാറ്റർഡേ ആൻഡ് ഇൻ കർമ്മയോഗം കൃഷ്ണ ബിഗിൻസ് വിത്ത് ദി ബേസിക് പ്രിൻസിപ്പൽ ദാറ്റ് that the karmam, only when it is performed as a yoga system, only then it becomes karma yogam. Otherwise it is not karma yogam. So that was the point Krishna was strongly insisting in the beginning of this chapter, that karmam, when it is executed as a yogam, that means it becomes a offering to Krishna. In other words, done without any attachment to the results, number one, and number two, and when it is done to please Krishna, activities in Krishna consciousness, that is karma yogam. So that karma yogam, Krishna has explained in a few verses, and after that, Krishna talked about another issue, that how to make this karmam a yogam. So in order to explain that point, Krishna brought out this important thing, that what is yajnam, yajnam, the importance of yajnam, how yajnam makes karmam a karma yogam. Without yajna, nothing can be done in this world. That is why for many, many verses after that, Krishna explained about yajnam. Yajna artham karmano inyatra logoyam karma bandhana. That without yajnam, anything that is executed is karma bandhanam. It is only bondage in this world. So, in order to bring this point forward, Krishna talked about the importance of yajnam, making life as a sacrifice to Krishna. So that is what makes yajnam. That's what makes yajnam. Otherwise it is not a sacrifice to Krishna. So these points are there. The principle is the same in the Vedas. It is the same principle what is mentioned in the Vedic Vedas also. Particularly Karmakandam in the Vedas is a very elaborate part of Vedic literature. But when Krishna brought Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita, he has modified that, because the yajnam or the sacrifices in the Vedas are different. They are referred to as Agnihotram. Agnihotram means the different sacrifices listed there for to be performed by the Brahmanas in order to elevate themselves into the higher planetary systems and further from there to the higher planets after that. But because of the complexities of the Vedic philosophy of the Karmakandam, Krishna decided that the same result is obtained if it is performed as an offering to Krishna. So, after all, Krishna is the compiler of the Vedas. So, Krishna alone has the authority to decide what is the appropriate thing. No one else has any right to tamper with it or to change anything. What are the Vedic injunctions? So, Krishna says there, that if you execute the, even in the normal life here in this world, if the activities are related to Krishna and offered to Krishna in as a yajna, as a sacrifice, that will not bind a living entity here. So that is how the Karma Yogam started, and then Krishna discussed about the yajna or the or the sacrifices which will make karmam as a yogam, yoga system. And it is after that Krishna realized that who performs karmam in this world? Mostly perform karmam is the duty of the householder. Or in other words, grahastha. Grahastha is the personality who is behind karma yogam. So because it is grahastha's topic, Krishna had to explain that a lot more in detail because of the difficulties of the householders in this world. Householder's life is a very risky affair compared to a brahmachari or a sannyasi. So therefore, in order to keep the householders on track, not to move away from the path of spiritual life, Krishna explained about that how a householder can function in this world as a householder at the same time execute his activities in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. So those were the topics we were discussing last Sunday. So we'll continue from there where we stopped in the third chapter. That was the in third chapter, we have spoken right up to the verse 20. So we'll start from verse 21. In verse 20, Krishna brought about this example of King Janaka, of Janaka Maharaj in Mithila, how although a householder, he was more than a liberated soul. So it is not that householder life is completely condemned or anything. It is an ashram which has been given a very high position in the Varnashrama Dharma, provided it is executed, understood properly, and it is followed properly. As long as it is done so, Grahastha Ashrama means as higher as any other ashram in the Varnashrama Dharma system. So, on the next words, Krishna says, Yadyad Ajarade Shrestha Tatata Dastadevo Idaro Jana സയൽ പ്രമാണം കുരുതേ ലോകസ്ഥതനുവർത്തതേ. വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ്. യദ്യദാചരതി ശ്രേഷ്ഠ. That in this world, what you can see, one thing, very important thing, what the great men does, the ordinary people follow them. It is always like that. Normal people do not take time to study the Shastram, or they do not know also about Shastram so much because of their busy occupation in the daily life in this world. Everyone is busy with their making a living, an entanglement in family life, bringing up children and so many other things. So because of all that, human general nature and majority of the people in this world will be householders always. It's going to be like that. It's not going to change. And because of a major percentage of population is householders, and because householders, all the householders would not take time to study the scriptures and to understand everything in minute detail. It's not possible for them to do that because of their preoccupied mind and the body. So what normally happens in this world is, you can see for yourself this example. Great people come here, come to this world, and they present Krishna consciousness in a particular way. Everyone follows them without questioning them. Why? Because they know that that great personality will not mislead them. It will only take them in the right direction. Number one. Number two, they will say, what is the need for us to study? He has studied already everything. Whatever he says and he does is perfect. We just follow him. This is the common nature among the human society. That is not going to change because of our way of life. Everyone will not get time to study all the scriptures, understand everything, because then other activities will not happen. So, yadyadacharati shreshta tattatadhitare jana sayal pramanam gurude logasthadanu vartade. That will become the standard. What the great man does, that is the standard. Ordinary people follow them. So, Krishna is saying there, that how important it is the leaders have to be. They should be following what they are talking about. Otherwise, in this world, there is no shortage of any philosophy. There is enough philosophy in this world, and there is enough there is enough guidelines. Already the sages have given enough knowledge in that way for the human society to live peacefully in this world. But what is lacking here, Krishna is saying here, what is lacking in this world is examples. Examples, what is lacking in this world? There is no one who has. It is easy to sit and speak about things, but when it comes to one's own life and practicing it, then it becomes a different story. That's why Krishna is saying, yadyadacharati shreshta tattatadidare jana sayal pramanam kurude logasthadanu vartade. Logam will follow those people who are already following and living a life based on the Shastram. So that is why it is so important. Krishna has given so much importance to it because of this reason. And this has been always the story. If you look back into the history, all the great personalities who preach Krishna consciousness in this world, they, along with them, they took thousands of people with them because they just followed them, seeing that personality's conviction and personality's realizations and the personality is strictly adhering to the words of the Shastra. No one has any freedom to change anything in the Shastram, no matter who it is. Shastram has been given to us by Krishna. Krishna has given to us this knowledge. Our duty is to come up to that, not to deviate from that. Name parthasti kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam vartameva cha karmani. Krishna says to Arjuna, I have nothing to do in all the three worlds. Name parthasti kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana. There's nothing for me to get from here, but still I continue to do things, my own karma. I continue to do it. And this is what makes Krishna's philosophy much more interesting. Krishna never says to anyone, give up everything, go to Himalaya, sitting in a cave there, completely meditate on me 24 hours. No, Krishna hasn't said, live in this world all along, what you have to do, continue doing it. But he's not saying that give up everything and run away to the forest. Krishna never said like that. Even this is exactly the same thing. What Krishna has spoken to Arjuna is the same thing what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava also in the Ekadasha Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no difference at all. There also Krishna is saying to Arjuna as well as to Uddhava that what you have to do in this world, you have to continue doing it. But at the same time, what does Krishna say? Bandhusneham vijahyam davahi garunaya that whatever one is executing one's life in this world, you have to be a traveler, a passenger in this world.
That is all. You have no relationship with what goes on here. One has to execute one's duty, but one has nothing to do with anything else in this world. So, you will find the same mention when we come to Ekadasha Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find the instructions are not much different than what he has spoken to Arjuna here.
Yadi Hyaham Navarteya Jadu Karmanya Dandrida Mama Varpani Vartande Manushya Partha Sarvasha.
Then suppose I don't do anything, Krishna says. I just sit quiet, not doing anything. For me, Krishna says, whether I do it or I don't do it, it doesn't make any difference. Because Krishna is situated on the spiritual platform all the time, Brahmanishtha. That is his position. He's no falling down for Krishna anytime. You have never heard about Krishna falling down, have you? Whereas we are always falling down in every second, in one way or the other, either mentally or physically or spiritually, whatever it is. So this falling down process is only for us, not for Krishna. But Krishna is saying here,
yadi hyaham na vartaya jadu karmanya dindridam, that mama varpani vartande manushya partha sarvasham.
But if I sit quiet, not doing anything, Krishna says, what will people think? People will think that's the way one should live in this world. They will give up all the other activities and they'll become lazy and they'll start thinking that Krishna has never done anything, why should I do anything about it? So in order to keep the material world, in this world also, in Krishna's creation, all the living entities to function in a particular way, Krishna has given us a certain system of life which is known as Varnashrama Dharma. So there is a particular pattern of life in this world Krishna expected us to follow. Krishna never told us that you completely stop working and give up everything and become totally idle. Because Krishna says, if that happens, that will be degradation to the society, human society.
Mama varpmanu vartande manushya partha sarvasha.
Accordingly, what I perform, people will follow me. All the people, Krishna says to Arjuna, people will just follow me. And you can see this also, that Krishna's Varnashrama Dharma system exists all over the world. It is not that you can throw it away easily. Only thing is, it doesn't work in the proper way it should be working. That is where things have gone wrong. That Varnashrama Dharma system, what Krishna created,
Chadurvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasham.
That gunakarmam, gunam and karmam, quality and work, is Krishna's creation. And in that basis, the human society is supposed to function. So, Krishna says, mama varpmanu vartande manushya partha sarvasham. That the whole human society will follow me. If I stop working, it will affect them. Therefore, I'll continue to work. That is what Krishna is pointing out there. That the only difference is, people do not know that I am transcendently situated. They are thinking I am also working like them. And this is where the difficulty comes. When we start seeing Krishna engaged in different activities, we also start thinking, oh, Krishna is doing, he is also working, I have to work like that. But exactly it is not like that. The point is, Krishna is saying is that I am situated in a transcendental platform. Although I am performing so many activities, I am not affected by that.
Ulsidhe yurime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sangarasya jagartasyam ubahanyam ima prajaham.
That what will happen is, Krishna says that
ulsidhe yurime loka na kuryam karma chedaham.
That if I become inactive, if I don't do anything, what will happen is the ordinary people will also follow me and they'll become lazy because they are not transcendently situated. Krishna is transcendently situated. So that doesn't affect Krishna. But ordinary people, if they follow that route of becoming inactive and give up their activities in this world, what will happen is they'll become lazy and they'll fall down. Krishna says, because they are not fixed up in spiritual life.
Ulsidhe yurime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sangarasya jagartasyal ubahanyam ima prajam.
The result of that will be that they will fall into sense gratification in a big way. And once the sense gratification happens, what does that mean? Going down further from their position. Already they are in trouble, but they'll go further down in the sense gratification. So that is why some order and structure is necessary in this world. And Krishna has presented this scientific process of Varnashrama Dharma.
Satta karmanya vidvam so yadha kurvandi bharata kurya adyudam sada asaktaschigir shur loga sangraham.
That when you see people executing work, you will find there,
sakta karmani avidvamso yadha kurvandi bharata.
two kinds of people. One who is very attached to the result, another one completely detached from the result. But when they perform their duties, perform their activities, it may appear that both are doing the same thing. But what Krishna is pointing out there is, it is not their physical body what does is important. Their attitude in their mind or their approach towards work. One totally detached, he is executing it as a duty, he performs that. Other one completely attached, expecting 100% results from all his activities. And that makes the difference. That's what Krishna is saying. That makes the difference. That difference in understanding of the attached person on the person who is non-attached. Sakta is means very attached person.
Sakta karmani avidvam soyatha kuryodhi bharada kuryat idhamstada asakta chigir shor loga sangraham.
That an activities of an ignorant person, even in spiritual life, will turn out to be a troublesome affair. Because he is attached, that means his activities in even spiritual life will turn out to be a problem. Whereas a non-attached person, one who is not attached to the result, even his material activities will become spiritual because of his detachment to the material world. So this is the secret of the Karma Yogam. Karma Yogam is like this, that one who is very attached to the result, and when he is living in this world simply to grab everything in this world, and that is the only goal of life, that person has a lot of difficulties to understand what Karma Yoga means. Because from very beginning, that in the spiritual language, even it is made fun about it, that advanced personalities, they do not like this mentality of grabbing things in this world. This is inborn in us. Even they say, when a child is born, he puts his hand out to pull everything from it. So the birth itself starts like that, this grabbing business. And that doesn't finish at all till the last minute, till the body, the soul leaves the body. This is the only thing what he does, is accumulating and acquiring as much as one can in this world. So Krishna is saying that when one is in that consciousness, it is difficult for him to sacrifice anything for others. For Karma Yoga is very, very difficult for him. So therefore, he says you should look at these two kinds of people. One who is living in this world, completely transcendental, but still executing what he has to do, he does it, but not concerned about the results. That will come in its own way, and in its own way it will happen. But another person who does everything purely attached to the results, fully attached to the results, and expecting all the results to come. And that is the difference what that comes from there.
Na buddhi venam. So, na buddhi venam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayel sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan.
That because it is like this in the human society, that if you say to people who are so attached to the results of their activities, if you tell them that this is completely to be given up, what will happen is they will give up. They will give up everything. They will stop the activities. On the other hand, they do not have the spiritual realization in them to act properly. And the result is that neither they have the jnanam or the knowledge, nor they have the karmam or the activity. And they will get lost in this world. Therefore, those who are very attached to the results of their activities, everything should be done very gradually. It should not be overnight imposed upon them that you throw away everything into the bin and come and don't do anything now on. And if you develop that attitude in such people, what can happen is, because they are not advanced on the spiritual side and their realizations are not there, their ignorance is very deep rooted, and if they give up their material activities also, they will become totally hopeless situation will happen to them. That's what Krishna is saying. Therefore, intelligent person should not disturb their mind unnecessarily. And it should be done in such a gradual way that they come out of the entanglement with a sufficient knowledge. They develop the realization from the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita that how to act in this world. And practicing it in this way, in this world, they will slowly develop detachment. And that is a slow process, how to come out of it from this entanglement of the karma.
Na buddhi vedam janayel, that's what Krishna says, ajnanam karma sanginam joshayel sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan. Vidwan should know what is the right way to deal with this situation. Yukta Samavacharan, he should not encourage them to throw away everything and come to spiritual life, and tomorrow they feel completely lost. They are neither the spiritual life nor the material life either. That's what's going to happen.
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhalpa kartaham iti manyadem.
Krishna says there that actually, strictly speaking, we are all thinking that we are the doers. This is the biggest problem. Karta asmin abhimanyade. I am the doer. I am doing this. I am me. I am the one. If not me, what will happen to this world? This is what is in our head all the time. It's very strongly hammered into our head. Therefore, Krishna says, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasham.
Prakriti, material nature is doing everything. Actually, you are not doing anything. We are strongly controlled by the three modes of material nature. Under the grip of material nature, Krishna says, gunai karmani sarvasham.
And every one of us, we have our own modes of nature in us, trigunam, or the goodness, passion, ignorance, satum, rajas and tamas. That is in us very strongly. And as long as these three things are there, you are not independent. You are completely controlled by them. And they are in us in a mixed way, in all of us.
Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhalma.
Immediately the next thing is the false ego builds up. False ego means me and mine. I am the doer. It's me who is ahankara vimodhalma. Krishna calls him as vimodhalma. Vimodhalma means one who is mudha. One who is ignorant about the reality of the situation. Because he doesn't have the realization. And it is true with most of the people. We are in the same situation.
Ahankara vimodhalma.
And because of false ego, false identification with the body, and the result of that is all activities, I am the doer, I am the body and I am the doer, and then followed by karta asmin abhimanyade, karta aham iti manyade, I am performing this work. This consciousness is in us, all of us. And as long as it is like that, it is not going to change overnight, this concept. It's not going to happen to us. I'm not the doer. How many of us will say, we may say theoretically, I'm not the doer. But when it comes to practice, karta asmin abhimanyade, in Bhagavatam also you'll find in the third canto, when Kamala Vasudeva speaks to Devahuti Devi, exactly the same point is mentioned there.
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimodhalma karta aham iti manyade.
That has to go from the consciousness that I am the doer. That doesn't go easily. Only by practicing spiritual life and studying Shastram, only by that you can come out of that concept that I am not the doer. That modes of nature is actually functioning. That will come after deep realizations, practicing spiritual life. But unless and until that comes, one cannot give up also the activities. It will result in disaster. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in relationship with that, Kapila Vasudeva has spoken to Devahuti Devi about it in many instances in order to explain this point, that how deeply we are absorbed about this world, our mind, and we have taken upon our shoulders that if we don't do it, what will happen to this world? Some people even ask that question, don't they? If you speak to them about Krishna consciousness, their answer is, okay, if everyone goes and sits in the temple chanting Hare Krishna, who will run all the motorways and run the aeroplanes and keep this whole world going? Often people have this doubt in their mind. How will that happen? Because in their own mind, they are very strongly convinced that it's they are keeping this world going. They don't see that one day, even if they go, this world will still go on. And this has been going on for millions of years like this, without us managing it. We have just come yesterday and tomorrow we are gone from here. This is our position. But that short time when you are here, you are still thinking that it's me who is keeping this going. This is the beauty of Maya. Maya makes us think all the time that as long as you are here, without you, how can this world go on? This is the way Maya keeps us in that consciousness. So many people have come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a beautiful explanation to it at the very end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Bhumi Devi mentions about her own position, she explained about it. She says she has listed the number of kings who have come to control her in this world. You can see, even recent times, if you take, look, for example, in the recent time, Hitler, Mussolini and so many other powerful personalities, Stalin and Lenin and this, that and the other, so many people in the recent times,
Prior to that, if you go back to the Vedic times, you will find Bhumi Devi talking about it. A number of people, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha said Bhumi Devi is mine, holding him on his tusk, he was carrying Bhumi Devi. And Hiranyakashipu said, I will control him. I will control Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth. And then there are many other personalities who have come. Ravana, what did Ravana? Ravana decided that this earth is mine. I am going to decide how to manage this earth. So in different times in the history, if you go back, you will find that this situation was not different. All these great personalities, they come and they wanted to control me, Bhumi Devi says there. And at the end, they all left and I am still here, she says. I am still here and they have all come and gone. They have all come and gone. So this is our problem. This is our difficulty. And it is difficult to get out of this understanding that we are not. Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham midi manyade. As long as this false ego is very strong inside, many people will say, I don't have any false ego. They will say like that. That very statement itself is a false ego. To say to someone that I don't have any false ego, that itself is a false ego. So this is how deep-rooted this false ego is. And as long as this false ego is there, somebody is saying something that you may present yourself as to be very humble and very, very pious in every way, but that doesn't solve the problem. The false ego is still there inside and that doesn't go away easily. That's why Krishna is saying there, Ahangara vimodhalma kartaham midi manyade. So it is a difficult thing to come out of that concept, and as long as that concept is there, that this difficulty will be there, that our identification with the body also will be there.
Tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayo guno guno aguneshu vartanda idimatva na sajjade. That gunam and karmam, that one has to know how to separate them out, how to separate the gunam and karmam.
That once you know about the gunam, and once he is a tattvavit. Tattvavit means one who knows the truth. And that comes to a person when he has studied Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and reflected on it very well. From Shravanam, everything starts from hearing. But Shravanam to be followed by Mananam, by reflecting on that. Without reflection, nothing will happen. And it is that reflection that changes our mind. Not the Shravanam. Shravanam is only you are taking in. What is gone in, it has to be very properly, very very well chewed inside our own mind. When you do that, that will change our consciousness also, our way of thinking. That's what Krishna is saying here. Tato vittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanda idimatu ana sajjadeem. That an intelligent person or a learned person, he will not feel pride about anything, what he has done in this world. Because he does not identify himself with the activities. Whereas the foolish person who is very much in identifying with his body, he will always make the statement that I have done this, I have done that, and I'm going to do this in the future, and I'll be doing it afterwards, and this, that, and the other, and achieve this, I've achieved that. And you will want to make the whole world know what all you have done in this world, although tomorrow you are gone from here. So this ignorant understanding is coming from this, that he has not learned. That is why he has no realization about anything. He's just acting on impulses. People are saying that you have to always show what you have done in this world. And in that way, when the mind is trained up like that, mind will not be able to reflect inwards. It won't be able to become thoughtful about these things. In Shastram, they call it as Andharmukhatvam. This Andharmukhatva means looking inwards. Looking inwards makes a person to realize his actual position. One who is looking externally all the time, Bahirmukhatvam is very dangerous, because Bahirmukhatvam, externally, looking outwards, is always seeing others, what others are doing, and he's simply following them, that's all. He's not able to pull himself out of it and to reflect on these things in the light of the Shastras and see that what the Shastras are saying, how true it is. And when one is convinced and conviction comes from that, then he is not affected by the modes of nature anymore. He is released from that.
Prakrite guna sammoha sajjande guna karmasu tanakal snavido mandan krishna vinna vichalayil.
That
those who are very attached to their activities and their pride from that, and also this sattvam, rajas and tamas, the three modes of material nature, they together will bind a person very well, very strongly. Even in household life, this is the most important point. That what we say is that even one has to live as a householder, the chances of sticking to the householder life is very strong. You get stuck with it. Sticking means that due to the involvement in family life and also due to the householder activities of the household life, it is very possible that he gets stuck with it. That sticky nature is there in householder life. Generally for sannyasis and brahmacharis, if they are properly situated, that may not happen because of their position in the society. That we'll come to that about brahmachari and sannyasi, Krishna discusses later. But strictly speaking, for a brahmachari and sannyasi, that sticky nature doesn't exist. It is a householder who's got the biggest problem because he gets stuck with the householder life. In other words, it sticks to you all the time. Family, so-called family, the society, the relatives, the friends, this, that and the other, they are all sticking to you. And it is difficult to get out of that sticky situation. And that is why Krishna is saying like this, that Prakrite guna sammuda sajjande guna karmasu tanakrasnavido mandan krasnavinna vichalayel. That it is not possible to tell a householder that you give up everything, like they don't get stuck to all these things. But if you do that, that also will not work because it has to be done in a very gradual way. My sarvani karmani sanya sadhyalpaje dasa nirashir narmamo bhutva yudhyasya vigada jvaraha. Then, to bring a person to the position that I am not this body but spirit soul is not an easy thing. It takes a lot of effort and time for one person to come to that platform of spiritual position, spiritual identity. When one is totally absorbed in the body and the bodily life, bodily happiness, it takes a long time for him to come out of it. That is why Krishna is saying there, "Mai sarvani karmani sanya sadhya alpajayadasa." So to begin with, Krishna says, start with your work, what you are doing. Because rest of the things, theoretically you may understand so many things that it has to be given up. It has to be the bodily concern. Theoretically everybody understands that I am not this body. Theoretically it is possible to convince people. But difficulty comes when it becomes to practical life. That is where the difficulty comes. So therefore you can see Krishna is saying there that you have to begin somewhere to come out of this bodily concept of life. So the first thing Krishna says, what you do is you purify your karma. If karma is purified, then the next thing what will happen is that purification will bring a person to understand that in this world one should not simply waste his time acquiring for oneself, or in other words, simply attached to the work and the results alone, but rather offer it as a sacrifice or yajnam. In that way, purification begins for everyone. And when that purification happens, in due course, he will understand the finer side of the karma yoga. That is, how to act in this world, fully detached and offering the results to Krishna, at the same time, satisfied in one's own spiritual position. That will come in due course. So therefore, Mai sarvani karmani sanyas adhyalpa chedasa. That adhyalpa chedasa means that spiritual consciousness has to build up first in one person. So therefore, jnanam has to go also side by side with karmam. That simultaneously, one has to develop that adhyalpa chedasa. Adhyalpa chedasa means that spiritual understanding has to build up very strongly, and that will help that person to give up that attachment to the material activities. That how to offer everything to Krishna, how to offer one's own work to Krishna, and without being proud about it and without being attached to it, how to perform in this world spiritual activities. That is what Krishna says there. It is a very important point of the karma yoga, that one has to have the, first of all, in order to do that, it shouldn't be done capriciously. Krishna Prabhupada says there that because if you do it in that way, it will not work, because after some time you will fall down from that position. So before doing that,
one should develop that proper understanding also from the Shastram. By studying it and reflecting on it, one should become stronger in one's own convictions that this is how Krishna wants us to live. And when that conviction is there, then if we execute that, it will have its immediate result also from that. That Karma Yoga principle is like that. He has to come to the realization that material world is temporary. And that is why Bhagavad Gita began with that particular topic. How did Bhagavad Gita begin? Bhagavad Gita begin with this point that you are not the body, you are spirit soul. And with that conviction has to grow very strongly inside. Only then he can grow in that path further. That
Yeme matamidam nityam anudishtanti manavam shraddhavando anasuyando muchyate tebhi karmabhim.
That when one starts working for Krishna, when one starts offering his results to Krishna, there is a certain happiness that will come from that. Only one has to try oneself. It should not be a business deal with Krishna. That will not work. It has to be without expecting anything in return from Krishna. Simply feeling that I am a servant of Krishna and I have to offer the results of my work to Krishna, to please Krishna. Pleasing Krishna is my goal of life. In that mood, if one starts executing one's life, that will automatically bring a certain happiness from that. Has to come. And it is that happiness that purifies the person. The pleasure of serving Krishna. After all, Prabhupada used to say, you have served so many lifetimes, so many bosses, and you are not satisfied. At least in this lifetime, serve this boss, he said. At least serve one lifetime, you gamble for Krishna. That was Prabhupada's message. That satisfaction you can see in Prabhupada also, exactly how he felt, that in spite of all the other difficulties, what was on the way in preaching Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was able to present Krishna consciousness on a transcendental level, unaffected by the activities of this world. It did not disturb him in any time. Because when you serve a superior person like Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are not controlled by the morals and laws of this world to that extent. They may follow them in order not to disturb the society. But on a higher level, when you serve Krishna, the happiness that comes from that is different. That's not like the working in this world, trying to please a factory manager or a factory owner or anyone else for that matter in this world. This is a complete business transaction. But serving Krishna is different. That's what in that particular verse says there.
Yemi matamidam nityam anudishtanti manava shraddhavando anasuyando muchyande etevi karmabhim.
That if one translate this into one's own life and live in that way for quite some time in life, that is one way of getting out of this entanglement of karmam. Karmam you have to kill by karma alone. You cannot do anything else. By simply abstaining from karmam, you won't be able to free yourself. But you can come out of this karmic entanglement or bondage by performing karma, but with the right consciousness, right understanding. That strictly speaking, the whole life is based on karma, isn't it? All of us are all the time doing something or the other. Karma is the driving force in this world. That is one of the reasons you can't ignore karma. If somebody says that, I will not do anything, I will abstain from karma fully and I'll do my own way, that's not going to work, because sooner or later he'll fall from there. It's not possible to stay in that position. So karma has to go on. But in what way that karma is executed, that is what is more important. How he uses that in order to free himself from that. Simply, strictly speaking, all one is doing is experiencing one's own karma and its results. That is what is happening in this world. That in this conclusion, Krishna says there, that this Karma Yoga I have spoken to you, to Arjuna. He says to Arjuna, with only one intention, that you may understand the principle behind it, that you are trying to free yourself by not fighting this war and getting out of this. But you are a Kshatriya, how can you stay away from the war? That's your duty. In one instance, Balaram says to Rukmini also the same thing. He said, once it is of war, we are Kshatriyas, we have to do it, we won't look who is who. Whether your friend, relative or father or mother, nothing. For us, it's just killing after that. There is no question of looking this side or that side. That is a Kshatriya's nature. It is his duty. And Krishna is saying to Arjuna, and that is what is ingrained in you. That nature is in you, and you are trying to act like a very pious and saintly nature, trying to tell me that you will not work because of all the other problems in this world. That's not going to happen. So Krishna has given enough warning there that many, many great personalities, they have tried all these different things. It has never worked. So ultimately they realized that how strongly they are controlled by the modes of nature. So as long as the modes of nature is there, modes of nature means what? Varnashrama dharmam, isn't it? The modes of nature is what makes difference between Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. It is the modes of nature that separate one from the other. So as one is a Kshatriya or Brahmana, that nature will not go away easily. That is always there in that person. And therefore, it is difficult, Krishna says, that if you want to escape from that, you won't be able to do that. Then, after you have removed this block from karma, or the karma what has created, it is a block in us to go further in the spiritual path. By performing karma properly, you free yourself from that. Once the block is removed, then you can go further from there. Jnanam and bhakti will develop better, properly in that way. Then the right understanding will develop at that point. Then, when people do not understand this karma yoga, and sometimes people think that, oh, I will just go for bhakti yoga, bhakti process and jnanam, nothing else I don't want, because he is lazy, he doesn't want to do anything. That is why he takes that shortcut, he tries to do that. And the result is that, after he starts his processes, he'll fall from there. After a while, he loses interest in that. Why? Because he hasn't done what he has to do in the prior to that. He has not executed that. That is why he's saying there. And, ye tve tadabhyasuyando nanirishtandime madam sarvajnana vimudhamsthan vidhinashtana chedasaham. That even if you try for bhakti and jnanam, without caring for the karmam, the possibility is that you will one day or the other find it difficult to execute, because you are not purified your own position. You are not purified. You are not pure enough to follow that road. And this is the reason in the Vedic literature, Karma Yoga is discussed first before anything else. Karma Yoga has been given priority on the other things because of this reason. Sadrasham jashtane swasyal prakrite jnana vanavi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Then, even if the body die, the material nature don't die. Body only dies. Material nature don't die. So, sadrisham cheshtade sosyal prakrader jnanavanavi. That whether you are a jnani or you are a foolish person, or a learned person, or you are not a learned, or a stupid person. Prakritim jnanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyadim. That if you are thinking that I can escape from this, that is not possible. Krishna says, nigraha kim karishyadim. That if you do that, you are the loser. You will not be able to progress further from there. That this material gross body, that has got a birth. It has got a death as well, on which you have no control. Have you? Nobody has any control on birth, have they? But he thinks after birth, as soon as he grows up, he's about, say, 10, 12 years old, he becomes a little bit independence develop in him or her. At that time, he start declaring, oh, I think this is what I'll do in my life. I'm going to be this, that or the other, whatever it is. I want to make so much money. I have this plan, that plan. All this planning starts around that age, 10, 12, as much as I-ness, as it's called, identification with the body is stronger and stronger. For a child, there is no bodily identification. So you can see how the child functions in this world. You give him a lot of toys, he'll play with it. When he's fed up, he'll just leave it and go. He doesn't think about it afterwards. Does he? Why? Because that identification with the body is not there. That is why, among the 24 spiritual masters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dattatreya Maharshi calls, Arbhagaha, Prithivi Vairaga Shavabhogni Chandramanravi, Kapodama Jagara Sindhu, Patanga Madagadijam, Madhuha Harino Meena Pingala Kuriram Arbhagaha. Arbhaga means a little child. The Atreya Rishi in his sannyasam, when he was a sannyasi, he was the typical example of what a sannyasi should be. In the Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, when sannyasa ashrams, glories were discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira heard all this. And Yudhishthira realized, I am a householder. And after hearing about the glories of sannyasam, Yudhishthira realized, it is not possible for me to become a sannyasi like the way Sri Narada Maharshi mentioned about sannyasa ashram. So Yudhishthira asked Sri Narada Muni one question. It is in the Bhagavatam, very important question. He says to him, my dear sage, what you have told me is very nice about sannyasa ashram. But have you ever heard about a sannyasi like this? He has not even asked him whether he's seen one. Have you heard one like this, a sannyasi, what you have spoken about? And it is in that context that in this great sannyasi, Atreya Maharshi, Dattatreya Maharshi, was presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you read Dattatreya Maharshi's description of the sannyasa ashram, you will understand what sannyasa ashram means. It is such an elevated position of a sannyasi. To come to that position, it is not easy. It's not so easy. How detached Dattatreya Rishi was from this world, and his travels in this world, and learning from everywhere something or the other. And 24 spiritual masters comes in the Bhagavatam on that. And there you will see, Madhuha harinomina pingala kurara arbhagaha arbhagam. Arbhaga means a little boy, a little child. So he was walking, wandering around in the villages somewhere. Somewhere he was wandering around. And suddenly he saw one little boy playing there. He was playing there with the mud and outside the house. Children have a natural affinity to play with the earth, isn't it? They like to. Of course, here it's difficult because it's too cold. You have to buy the earth also from the Toys R Us and give it to them. And they will play with that inside. But many warm weather conditions where the weather is warm, they don't have to buy the earth. They let the children out to go and play in the ground. So Dattatreya Maharshi was moving and he saw one child playing in the ground with the earth. He saw Dattatreya Maharshi thought, is there anything for me to learn from him? Just see how intelligent he was. He is seeing that this whole world is actually a school for us. One who wants to learn from here, and one who has got intelligence to learn, he can find many things here. Krishna says that this itself is a school for you to learn what you want to learn in order for your spiritual advancement. So Dattatreya Maharshi was intelligent and he saw that in his travel this child was playing. So he looked at the child and he thought himself, is there anything for me to learn from this child? Because he was trying to learn from different personalities, many things. So he stayed there. He kept watching the child. And the child was so absorbed in playing all the time. He was building so many different things with the earth, sometimes bridges, sometimes houses, and he was relishing it, all that game what he was playing with. He was enjoying it and working on it. And at some point in time, his mother came and called him to come to eat or to bathe or whatever that is. He came and called him. He just kicked the whole thing away and ran away from there. Went inside the house. He didn't bother and he has forgotten that. Never took any interest after that. The Dattatreya Maharshi says, I learned something from him. What did he learn? He learned that in this material nature, everything is like that. It will come, it will go. I don't have to be too much concerned about it. It's not my duty to worry about it. So that realization he got from that child. So who is the spiritual master? The child is the spiritual master. Isn't it? The child is his spiritual master because he learned a great spiritual principle from that child. But this mentality will go as soon as you grow up. This is where the difficulty starts. As soon as you become 10, 12, slow, little by little you start acquiring things in this world and it makes your own, then it becomes your room, it starts. And it is only first your room. And then you start arranging everything in your room, everything nicely. When somebody else comes, you expect him to follow the traditions of the room. And it grows slowly, then it becomes your house. As soon as you become 25, 27, you got your first mortgage and the job, everything. Then it's your house. Then 24 hours, you have only time to make sure your house goes on well. Because that identification gets stronger and stronger as it grows further. But on a larger scale, it grows further than that. They start thinking, my country. That identification gets stronger. And when you start thinking very strongly, it's my country, you become a Hitler or whatever, that, higher than that. That's how all these personalities have come to this earth. How? Because of the deep-rooted ignorance that they have managed to cultivate throughout their life. That's what that has made them strong. And we think heroes everywhere. Everywhere we look for heroes. We write literature after literature about them, thinking about their depth of realizations and achievements in this world. And that is material history, isn't it? This is what the history we learn at the university all the time. The achievements of these great personalities, deep-rooted ignorance, what they were going through. So, the principle is this. Krishna is saying here that when one grows in this way, bigger and bigger, it is identification with the body and the bodily activities, actually he is falling down more and more, further and further. For them to come back to start thinking that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, there is a long way to go. Because so much attachment has already been built up in this world. Sadrasham jashtadeem yetatabhya suyando nanadishthandime madam sarvajnana vimudamstan vidhinashtana chedasaham sadrasham jashtadeem sosyal prakritir jnana vanavi prakritim yandi bhudani nigraha kim karishyadeem indriya sindriyasya arte ragadvesho vyavasthito tayornam shamagachetau shasya parivandhinau. But often people wonder, why is it this developing like this? That this attachment to this world, when we, nobody ever thinks about it, do they? Because why I am getting attached like this? When I was a child, I was not too bothered. Only good thing was, I didn't have any knowledge at that time. And it was a good thing. Because of that knowledge, only all these problems have come up later in life. When I was a child, this knowledge wasn't there, that this world is mine, it's my duty to do this, do that, so many other identities. These things have developed in later on, as you grow, once one has grown up, isn't it? And with the result of that is, how did this attachment develop like this? This is the question, there, it is discussed there. Indriyas indriyasyarte ragadveshau vyavasthitavum tayornavashamagachetau hyasya paribandhinavum. That the way the senses and the sense objects works is, that senses have a natural affinity for sense objects. And what happens is, when the senses starts interaction with the sense objects, which gets stronger as we grow up, the identity brings into another problem called ragam and dvesham. Ragam means attachment. When the senses are pleased with the sense objects, attachment builds up there, isn't it? That is the principle of that. Then the attachment will come when you are experiencing some happiness in this world from something. Everything is like that. For example, a man, he wants to get married. Why? He has understood that there is some sense enjoyment and sensual happiness to come from that. Similarly, vice versa also. So, marriage begins like that. And then after that, the other attachments for the home, to buy property, to buy own house, all these desires are the after effects of that. That he starts realizing that it is nice to have a house because it is nice to have a house. So that niceness feeling is ragam, that attachment has built up from then on. So virtually, as soon as the 10-12 years from then when it starts, this attachment, all what is happening in life is continuously growing, isn't it? Day after day after day, it grows in different levels, it keeps growing. Sometimes material nature kicks us and says you can't have that. And then you become suddenly renounced. Because you couldn't get it, so you become renounced. And you go and take sannyas after that. And he says, so I have renounced everything. And then you keep walking with that consciousness for some time. But the inside ragam has not gone. Only dress has changed. What's the point? So then you have to satisfy these in different dresses, in different forms. Therefore, in Shastram, there are words for all these things. One is called Smashana Vairagyam. And there is also another word, Prasava Vairagyam. What does it mean? Says Smashana Vairagyam means that when you go to the cemetery at the time of when one leaves this world, some close relative or somebody dies in this world. So naturally, for the cremation or burial, whatever it is, you go on to that house to attend to the funeral. So when you go for the funeral, at the last minute, the body has been removed from the car and moved on to the machine for burning or whatever it is. At that time, you're all very sober, isn't it? Everyone is very sober. And then function is over, you come out and you say goodbye to each other. Whomever you knew, all your community members are all there, all the friends are there, relatives, they're all come. So you are leaving each other. So one says to the other that probably by now is forgotten that he'll be the next one in the queue. He forgets that. So he says to the other that I will see you next week. Now this business is finished now. I'll see you next week. The other person says at that time to him, he says, yeah, we'll see you next week. But after all, this is our position at the end, isn't it? A thought will come. Naturally, if you are a little bit thoughtful, it will come like that. When that thought comes, you will make a statement like this. Oh, after all, this is the fate of everybody, isn't it? We can make a plan for next week. Who knows next week whether we'll be there or not. We may say like that. But after a day or two, the whole thing is forgotten. Back to the same boat again, continuously going on. This is called Smashana Vairagyam. This Vairagyam has no meaning. That Vairagyam was only there, or renunciation was only there for that small period of time when you were inside. The moment you get back into your car and driving home, for a few minutes you'll be quiet, and then the whole family business starts again. And that's that. That's finished. There's another word called Prasava Vairagyam. Prasava Vairagyam means when a lady is bearing the child, at the time of labor, she feels excruciating pain in the body. And she will say that, not never again, I don't want to have any more child. But the child is born, growing up, she says, when can I have the next one? The second child plan starts again. So this is called Prasava Vairagyam. That is the Maya's ways of keeping us entangled in this world is like this. That is telling us so many things, that enjoy this, you can have that happiness from this, finish from that. So all these kind of things is there in this world to engage a householder in many, many ways. So Krishna is saying here that Indriya-sindriya-syarte raga-dveshau vyavasthidau ragam and dvesham. These two things, if you study very nicely, you will see a lot of interesting things coming out of oneself. You can see yourself how you have acted foolishly due to ragam, due to attachment. Due to attachment, people will act many, many different funny ways. Ragam and dvesham. Dvesham means aversion, opposite of ragam. Where does dvesham come from? Dvesham comes from this, that when one try to execute his sense gratification, he is attached to something and he could not do it, immediately a aversion builds up inside, that I could not get it, I couldn't get it. So it becomes an aversion in him. That is dvesham. So ragam and dvesham, these are the two things which causes this, Krishna says. And why did ragam and dvesham happen? Because of the contact of the senses with the sense objects. Senses and sense objects interact, and that develops ragam and dvesham in a person's mind, or attachment and aversion. Indriya-sindriyasya arte raga-dveshau vyavasthitau tayor navashamagachetau hyasya paribandhinau. That in order to escape from that, what should one do? That is what Krishna is explaining there. That the only way you can come out of it is when you perform your activities in such a way, not as sense gratification, rather as Krishna consciousness. Krishna's activity, when it becomes Krishna's activity, then you get released from this mentality. Otherwise, everything else in this material world will create ragam and will create dvesham also. That is unavoidable, because that's the way material activities are. That, and ragam and dvesham, what will happen after that? It will be followed by kamam and krotham. Lust and kamam is lust and anger is krotham. Kamam and krotham will follow this ragam and dvesham. Because when what is in your desire, in your mind, when that is not satisfied, when the ragam is not fulfilled, the immediate reaction from that will be that it will develop into kamam. Kamam and krotham will follow that. That Krishna says that in the beginning, jayade vishaya pumsal sangasteshuba jayade. Sangam will happen first, attachment of the sense and the sense objects. And then sangal sanjayade kaman. Sangam will bring, at the end what will happen after the sangam? Once the attachment is built up, it develops into kamam. Sanjayade kamam. Kamal krodhobi jayade. When kamam is not fulfilled, then krodham, anger will develop. And then krodhal bhavadi samoha. From krodham,
you forget everything. Everybody knows, isn't it? I'm sure most of us have experienced that, what it is like when the anger develops in the body, that you lose all your control. You cannot see anything right and wrong. You don't care anything after that, isn't it? Krodhal bhavati samoha. And samohal smriti vibhrama. Smriti, your memory and all that intelligence, what you had to discriminate things, that goes away. Smriti bhramshal buddhi nasho. And intelligence is lost, you fall down. Buddhinashal pranashari. That's what will happen after that. So Krishna is saying there that ragam and dvesham are the beginning of that process of falling down. So from ragam and dvesham, it develops into kamam, krodham and moham, and later on fall down from that. All these things will happen. Krishna is warning there how one should be careful about these things. That. So when Krishna spoke about this, Arjuna asked this question, isn't it? Arjuna asked this question. What did Arjuna say? Arjuna says to Krishna that you are telling me that this is the way I have to execute my duty. That in full detachment and in as an offering to Krishna. That way you can escape from this. That was the, in the last few verses, as a sacrifice. Krishna was explaining that as a yajnam, how to perform that. And in householder life, how to get out of that stickiness, not to get stuck with the householder mentality of acquiring and acquiring and acquiring. That, how to escape from that, this is what Krishna has explained there. And then, when Krishna explained that, Arjuna asked the question, how did that happen? How did this sticky mentality or stickiness came to him? So Krishna says that because of the senses and sense objects, attachment, ragam, dvesham, it was developed and come to this day. So Arjuna asked the question at that time, if it is like that, how come, if it is like that, Arjuna says to Krishna, that why did this ragam and dvesham come to him in the first instance? Why people do not refrain from doing this? That if they know that due to the contact of the senses and the sense objects, that is how this ragam attachment has developed in them. Why do the people do that then? I mean, if it is such a plain and simple thing, why people get victimized by this? Because Arjuna is seeing here now, because Krishna has given that understanding to Arjuna. You see, it's only because of Krishna's mercy that Arjuna is able to realize these things. Otherwise, it's not going to happen so easily. Because Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, you will find in Krishna's instructions to Arjuna and Uddhava also the same thing. That because while Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, Arjuna was experiencing this knowledge behind it, what Krishna has spoken, that the attachment of the senses and the sense objects has developed in me, and the result of that is my thinking process has changed, the train of thought has changed, and now that has affected my mind very strongly, and I have developed a very large degree of lust in me. And lust just turns into anger, and anger turns into kamam, and then turns into krodham, anger, and from krodho bijaya krodhal, and then I fall down later on from that. So that means this is how I have got connected with this world. Because when you came here as a little baby, you had no connection here. You just happened to come here due to karmam. You got the body and you got birth in this world. At that time there was no attachment. But how come this strong attachment got built up in me after a period of time? This was Arjuna's question. All of us have to ask this question, isn't it? Because how come that we got so strongly identifying with various things? How this identification started? So, attachment. So Krishna says there that there is another side to it, and that is what he begins now in the next verse. Arjuna's question and Krishna's answers. That is the rest of this chapter. Then Krishna says there that Shri Bhagavan Uvajam. Arjuna's question was Adhakena Prayuktoyam. Prior to that, there is one more verse. Sorry about that. That the Krishna says there, Indriyasindriyasya arte ragadvesho vyavasthito tayornavashamagacchetau hyasya paribandhino. After explaining that, Krishna says, Shrayan sodharmo vigunal paradharman sonyushtidal sodharme nidhanam shraya paradharmo bhayavaham. This is another important verse. Because this verse often confuses people. What does Krishna mean by this? Isn't it? We all ask this question. Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharmal sunushtidal. Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharmal sunushtidal. Swadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. Krishna is saying that it is better to do one's own duty. Now, let's go back a little bit more. When Bhagavad Gita was spoken, it was already understood that the society is following Varnashrama Dharma. This Bhagavad Gita is actually addressing people who follow Varnashrama Dharma. It is on the base, but Varnashrama Dharma is not discussed in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, there is only very limited reference to Varnashrama Dharma. You will also find that. In the 18th chapter, there is Krishna says, what is a Brahmana, what's a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, his nature, and Sannyasi's nature. These things are very marginally explained there. But the reason for that is that already it was understood that this was directed towards a society who followed Varnashrama Dharma. In another instance, Krishna also says that I have created this Varnashrama Dharma system in this world. So from there you can see at one point in time, Varnashrama Dharma was a very prominent, predominating force in this world. So naturally there was no need to tell them, to teach them about Varnashrama Dharma. That principle question didn't arise. That wasn't necessary. So because the society was streamlined or built on this principle of Varnashrama Dharma, it became much easier for Krishna to explain the rest of the things after that. The different yoga processes and how it affects. So then the question comes here that Shreyan Sudharmo Viguna Paradharmal Sunushtidal. What will happen if one in one particular Varnam performs the Varnam of duty of another person in another Varnam? If he changes his activity, thinking that that is a superior one, I'll do that. Just like sometimes people will think that in the process of Krishna consciousness also, this discussion had gone on for a long time in Krishna consciousness movement also about Varnashrama Dharma. How to bring Varnashrama Dharma back to the society again. That was an important topic. Even Srila Prabhupada wanted that very much as a part of the society. So this Varnashrama Dharma's importance is this, that if you execute Varnashrama Dharma properly, Dharmam Varnashramanam, Shudipata Vihidam, it is in the Shudis also says there, if it is done properly, it is a progressive process for the whole human society. In other words, it develops, it purifies him in his karma. This karma yoga, what we are discussing, that will automatically come in Varnashrama Dharma, natural way. You don't have to teach him in a very elaborate manner. Because when a particular person engaged in one's Varna activities, for example, a Vaishya or a Shudra, doing what he is meant to do, according to his nature, naturally he knows that he doesn't have to worry about the other things in the world. For example, like in America, everybody wants to be president. There's nothing lower than that. They cannot accept. So they will, that's how they are geared all the time, to be president next. And this thing is there, but at the same time, often you will notice that you get to the position somehow, but then you cannot perform the duty properly. You are confused because you don't have the knowledge there associated with that particular position. So the defect, this is everywhere, it's not only in America, it's everywhere, it's the same problem because of the modern style of the administering the society. That what happens is the society, people are given an opportunity that somehow or the other they have to progress in their, they call it as a career or whatever that is, professional career. In that career, you know, in the way to go up is to get the job done somehow or the other. There is no other training for the person to understand what is good and what's right and what is wrong. That training isn't there. And because he hasn't got the background behind that person, automatically when he takes up the position, he does not know what is the right thing to do and what's not the right thing to do. And that deficiency or drawback, you can see in every aspect of the society. In the intellectual class, in the administrative class, in the business class, and in the labor class. In all these four classes, you will find the deficiency in the, and that leads into what? If it is a labor and if it is the mercantile community, continuous negotiation of the wages. Endless. It lasts for months together. And one striking, another one trying to pull the strings. And this way battle goes on between them. And the intellectual class tries to use their intelligence to exploit the government as best as they can for their various multi-projects, what they have, so that they sustain, maintain a good living out of that. The administrative class, they utilize their authority in the power in their hands to exploit the ordinary person, to stamp their authority on them. So in different ways, you can see how different human weaknesses take over. Whereas the Varnashram Dharma system, that cannot come because it is safely guarded. One knows what is one's duty. And you will also notice another thing. Shreyan sudharmo vigunan paradharma also nishtidal. Krishna says there one important thing there. If you are a Kshatriya or a Vaishya and you try to act like a Brahmana, that will not work. Because what will happen then is, you are not only that you are not doing your duty, what you are meant to do in your particular position, and on the other hand, you will not be able to do the other one also properly. Neither this nor that. And you will create more trouble in this world. So therefore, Krishna has given us this understanding of Varnashrama Dharmam, and that is discussed in detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is not much expected because it's already understood that based on Varnashrama Dharmam, this is all spoken. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it comes to Varnashrama Dharmam, there is in the 7th canto, 5 chapters, Sri Narada Maharshi is talking about Varna Dharmam and Ashrama Dharmam to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Rajasuya sacrifice. 5 chapters. And later on, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks to Uddhava also exactly the same thing, a little bit more in a detailed way. So there, if you read those chapters, these 5 chapters, in the last 5 chapters of the 7th canto, and in the Ekadasha Skandam, I think it's about 22nd or 23rd chapters, 2 or 3 chapters, Krishna talks about Brahmachari Dharmam, Grahastha Dharmam, Vanaprastha Dharmam and Sannyasi Dharmam, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, their Dharmam also you can read there. And you will appreciate when you read and if you understand what Krishna is saying, you will really admire that principle of Varnashrama Dharmam. You have to admire it because this Varnashrama Dharmam, if you understand it, and if unfortunately there is no example today, this is the difficulty. The Varnam and Ashrama Dharmam, when it existed, it used to exist even right up to about 100 years ago. This was there in the society. And that was a society where Varnam and Ashrama was a very much a respected thing for various reasons. Brahmachari, for example, a Brahmachari's life is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can read in those 5 chapters how a Brahmachari life should be. And there is no one Brahmachari today, you can see that. Nowhere in the world you will find a Brahmachari living as per that instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There it mentions about the Brahmacharis, what helps a Brahmachari to develop that spiritual understanding, what comes from him. And if a Brahmachari has lived like that, then there is no question of his spiritual life getting affected by anything because of the inability to function a Brahmachari. Most of the things what happens today is that Brahmacharis are there, but it's mostly a change of clothes. And that doesn't help because nobody has any freedom to change the Shastram. Shastram has already given clear instructions on Brahmachari's life, what is expected. The dress, the way he should live, and the relationship with the teacher and the spiritual master and the Brahmachari in his Brahmachari days. How powerful that is. And how that transforms the person from his lusty desires into a transcendental personality. That he gives up, because this youth, the adolescent age, when material desire starts building up inside, and that is the time when he lives as a Brahmachari. And during the Brahmachari time, Krishna says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained in detail about it. So there, just look at one or two verses in the Bhagavatam, just to understand what a Brahmachari means, as a small example, what a Brahmachari means in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, Krishna says there, that Brahmachari Guru, Sri Narada Uvacha, Brahmachari Guru Kule, Guru Kule, Vasandando Guru Orhidam, Acharan Dashamannicho, Guna Guru Sukhada Sauhradaha.
Sri Narada Maharshi is talking about perfect society for spiritual classes. Narada Muni said, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Gurukulam only for the benefit of the Guru. It is a very high principle that the relationship between the brahmachari, the disciple and the brahmachari begins there at that such an early age in life. And when that relationship is built up on proper principles as mentioned here, then you will see the results that comes from that also will be very, very powerful. That they will be very attractive. Satyam pradar upasida gurav agni arka surotaman sandhye ubhejayatavak jaban brahma samahidaha. At both junctions of day and night, namely in the early morning and in the evening, he should be fully absorbed in thoughts of the spiritual master, fire, the sun god and Lord Vishnu. And by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he should worship them. So these things can only happen, and it is the duty of the spiritual master to make sure that the disciple brahmachari is performing these things on time every day without break. And brahmachari is clothes and dressing. If you look, Meghala jina vasamsi jada danda kamandalu vibhyad uparavidam cha darbhavanir yathodidam. All these things, no brahmachari has heard of it today. This is the today's brahmachari situation. Meghala, jinam, dandam, kamandalu, all these things, where have they all gone? They are not there anymore. Meghala, jinavasam, see, jada, danda, kamandalu, vibhyad, upavitam cha, darbhavanir yathodhidam. In order to understand a ideal brahmachari, what Krishna has done is, Krishna came as a brahmachari to show us what a brahmachari should look like. And that is in the, you will find in the 8th canto, Vamana Murthy. That is the brahmachari. And that Vamana Murthy is brahmachari life. And there is a description, Sri Shukan says to Parikshit Maharaj, how a brahmachari should look like. It's mentioned there. So if you read there, you will find that brahmachari has to always maintain a freedom from the bodily concept of life. What does he do for that? He grows his hair. Matted hair it becomes, in other words. The whole hair becomes matted. So he doesn't have to become too concerned about the maintenance of the hair. Whereas everyone is very attached to hair, isn't it? So in order to get out of that concept of attachment of hair, he has told that don't comb the hair even. Keep it like that, matted hair. It becomes matted hair. And then, as far as the cutting the nails are concerned, it's forbidden. It's allowed only to a limited extent. It's not the anything related to beautification of the body is not allowed, because that bodily concept of life is so strong at that time. And in addition to that, he has to bathe very simple, not using expensive perfumes and shampoos and things like that. That's all forbidden for the brahmachari. He has to use simple things to maintain his purity of the body. In addition to that, his eating habits. And then everything that is done at the time of initiation of a brahmachari is that what gives him that strength. And if that is followed, even about 100 years ago it was spoken that not one day he will fall sick in all his brahmachari life. This is guaranteed if it is done properly. Not one day he will fall sick during his brahmachari life. At 20 years or so, when he spends his time at the ashram, with the spiritual master, the result will be that he will not fall sick. Because that is how he is trained from the very beginning itself. So that brahmachari, he carries a stick in his hand. Vamanamurthy also had a stick in the hand. Then he wears the deer skin. This is not a new thing. This existed even right up to about 100 years back. All these things existed in the society. Brahmacharis were there like that. That they wore the deer skin as their dress, clothes. And then the yajnopavidam, that is the sacred thread that's given to them, all with chanting the mantras associated with that. And then a 2-inch wide
like a belt around his waist. That is from the Darbha grass it is made. Kamandalu, water pot. This is all his ideal brahmachari's dress. This is what a brahmachari is expected to have. So that brahmachari doesn't exist anymore. That is gone from this world because of the because today also there are brahmacharis, but only thing is it's not coming up to the standard of what Krishna has explained in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So similarly, in other ashramas also, if you take for example householder ashram, there were householders in this world who executed the principles of householder life strictly according to the Shastra. They were there. You may be thinking that all the time householders were like us, all the time grabbing everywhere, everything. This is what modern householder does. He is making plans all the time, how to increase here, increase this, and he thinks this is perfectly justified in what he is doing. But this was not like that before. There were times in the history when there were ideal householders, what Krishna says, who lived according to householder principles. And it is those householders who developed these brahmacharis and sannyasis nicely. There were houses where they were like a university. And these wealthy householders, they maintained so many brahmacharis at home. Also, they provided education, free education for them, because all the qualified people in the Vedic literature were maintained by these wealthy householders, only with one intention, to train the young children in the brahmachari ashram properly. Brahmachari didn't have to pay any fee for that. All he had to do was to go and stay there and take prasadam and study, that's all. All expenses, because they were simple, they could do that. There was no any other... The brahmachari was always told that this brahmachari ashram is to develop spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. So that way he was trained from those brahmachari days, and the householders were the backbone of that education system. So you can see this big, large scale universities and colleges and high schools, what has it produced at the end? What is the result from all these things? Result is that we are still, it's only one function of this education, that is to get a job at the end. And nothing else serves. There is no proper enlightenment to the person for the purpose of living in this world. Nothing is taught about that. So result is very unfortunate. What can you do when you do not, when the people who are supposed to leading the society do not understand the higher values of spiritual life and the necessity to make that distinction in the society? The result will be that we will put everything in one pot and start cooking everything. And that does not bring best results. If you want the best results, you need division in the society at all levels. So you can see that. So brahmachari ashram is like that. Sannyasa ashram, I have mentioned before about Dattatreya Maharshi sannyasam. Grahastha ashram is an ashram where you can do good things for others. Brahmachari and sannyasi cannot do because he doesn't have the wealth to do that. But in the grahastha ashram, when one has wealth, one can use that money in maintaining this Varnashram Dharma system nicely, and that pleases Krishna. So everything in the Varnashram Dharma system is geared or developed in that way in order to elevate the society, to go further, higher in the spiritual values of life. That is the goal of the Varnashram Dharma system. So Krishna is saying that Shreyan so dharmo vigunal paradharmal sunushtidal, that such a nice society I have given to them, and if the human society follows that, they will also come back home, back to Godhead after that. Once you execute this properly, even it does not matter in which varnam one is, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, it doesn't matter. In that particular varnam, if one executes his varnasharma properly, he will get purified. It is not that only Brahmanas can go back home, back to Godhead, or only sannyasis can go back home, back to Godhead. It doesn't say anywhere like that. A grahastha can go back, a shudra can go back, because he has got the opportunity to do that by following the Varnashrama Dharma system. But people sometimes misunderstand that, oh, I have to become a brahmana, otherwise I won't make it. And he never becomes a brahmana, he is always a shudra in that position. But still, he misunderstands things, that in order to become a brahmana, he doesn't have that possibility of doing that in this modern lifetime. Although, all these things are in the Shastram, and one may wonder what is the possibility of the modern society, isn't it? Because that's what we are concerned about. We are not concerned about the history. History is nice. When you read the history, it is good that you understand that there was a different way of managing the human society. But today, all this is gone, completely gone. There is no ideal brahmachari. There is no ideal grihastha. There is no ideal vanaprasthashram. Vanaprasthashram, I didn't mention about it in detail, because vanaprasthashram, if you read, you will get up now from here and walk away from here. You won't come back again, because it is not for me, you will say that. In the householder ashram, if you did not make it, Krishna says, Uddhava asked Krishna, what should he do? He says, Uddhava, there is only one hope for him. What's that? He said, you should go to the forest. And there is some description of vanaprastha ashram mentioned in the Bhagavadam, as well as in other Vedic literatures also. Vanaprastha ashram, why does one has to go to vanaprastha ashram? Because the necessary renunciation detachment did not develop in householder life. In householder life, he was so attached, he couldn't come out of it. That is why he continued with grihastha ashram. And therefore, you should go to vanaprastha ashram. And in vanaprastha ashram, how one should acquire food, how one should live, all these things are in detail mentioned about it. If you read all that, you will automatically conclude, this is not for me. It's not for me. So, no brahmachari, no grihastha, no vanaprastha, no sannyasam. This is the modern world. To be honest and to be open about it. There is no point in saying that I am this, I am that. Strictly speaking, none of these exist in this world. But then what to do? That's also the question. The answer to that is that Krishna consciousness is higher than this. The purpose of Varnashrama Dharma is to develop Krishna consciousness, not anything else. It is no point, oh, I've been a good Brahmana all along. That is very good. But ultimately being a Brahmana is not the goal. Goal is to become Krishna conscious. So Krishna has given a process known as Bhakti Yoga for this reason. That in Bhakti Yoga process, if you follow the Varnashrama Dharma system, if you can, and if you are fortunate enough to live in a society of Varnashrama Dharma, that's excellent, because that society will be perfect. But when you don't have an opportunity, what can you do? Then the only choice what you have is to see what Krishna says, what I should do at that time. Because Krishna knew very well that one day this Varnashrama Dharma system will collapse in this age of Kali. As time advances, and we become more and more intelligent day by day, we will throw away all these things more into the bin. And we will be more busy with all rubbish in this world. That is what happens. So Krishna is saying here that ahimsa satyam akrodham, that there is a list of things, Krishna says, at least these minimum things one should follow and take to the process of Krishna consciousness. And although there will be a lot of deficiencies in the society, when tries to follow the Krishna consciousness in this way, but still at the end that will bring him benefits in many ways. So that is why, although these are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, it may not be totally possible to apply to one's own life because of our fall down in the society, and that is why it comes back again and again the same question, that what should I do? One is entangled in the work, one is entangled in family life, one is entangled in something else. So all this entanglement is there. But even in the middle of entanglement, how one can protect oneself by the process of Krishna consciousness. That is what the rest of the Bhagavad Gita is talking about. But you can appreciate that if it is all followed strictly, how beautiful the culture could be. What a wonderful culture is the Varnashrama Dharma based system. And you can also see that in the absence of Varnashrama Dharmam, how we can degrade easily in this world. How the whole society gets lost totally. It has no goal, no direction. It goes here, there, everywhere. So that is how this has to, we have to understand this. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, immediately after this, when Arjuna asks this question, Krishna talks about the answer. That is the rest of this third chapter, which we will discuss next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.